Welcome to Torah Timech Chonach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be studying the 13th chapter of Mishlei, Perek Yud Gimel. And the first pasuk that we're going to be learning today is pasuk Zayin. Yesh mis asher ve'ein kol. There's one who pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Mis roshesh v'hoin rov. And there is another who pretends to be poor, yet he has great riches. And this is describing an all too familiar scenario in society where there are some people who act affluent, but in reality they don't have much. They make big simchas, they drive fancy cars, but really they're living off credit card debt and who knows what. And then in contrast, there are those people who live a very simple lifestyle, and really they could afford a lot more luxury, but living simply is a value for them. Now this pasuk is quoted by the Medrash Tanchuma Vayishlach. When Yaakov was going to meet Esav, he told the messengers to send a message to Esav to say, Vayehi li shor v'chamor. I have an ox and a donkey. I don't have much. But the Medrash says that from the size of the gift that he sent to Esav, he must have had at least 200 male goats and female goats. So he had a lot. He just made as though he didn't have so much. So as the Medrash, this is the way of a tzaddik. This is an attitude of misroshesh v'hoin rov. He pretends to be poor whilst he has really great riches. But then on the other hand, Esav exaggerated his importance and his wealth. And he said, Yesh li rov, I'm very affluent, I'm very wealthy. And that was a demonstration of Yesh misasher ve'ein kol, someone who pretends to be wealthy but really doesn't have so much. So we can see from this Midrash that the tendency of people to exaggerate their wealth and to live beyond their means and to put up a show of having much more than they have, it's clearly part of the human condition and it's millennia old. And it hasn't changed. We still have a weakness for living a lifestyle that we totally can't afford. We still have a problem where people feel embarrassed if they make a simcha that's within their means. They feel embarrassed not to make something much bigger, much fancier. And this gives us something to think about. Now the Malbim and the Alshech explain the pasuk slightly differently. And they say that it's referring to a person who gives tzedakah versus a person who hoards his money. Yesh mis asher ve'ein kol. There are those who appear to be wealthy, but they really have nothing. Why? Because wealth is not permanent. It's all an illusion. So people who appear to be wealthy and they have a lot of assets and they have a lot of possessions, it's really just a deceptive illusion because we don't actually own our things in any case. But ain't called, we don't have it. People can, God forbid, lose their wealth in their lifetime. And even if we manage to hold on to our wealth our entire lives, we all lose it when we leave this world. We take absolutely nothing with us. It's like that very famous story of the Chofetz Chaim who had a wealthy guest visiting him, and the wealthy guest was absolutely appalled by the way the Chofetz Chaim was living, and he looked around his house. And he says, Rabbi, where's your furniture? So the Chofetz Chaim turned to him and he said, sorry, where is your furniture? So his guest said to him, my furniture is not here. I'm just a guest. I'm just visiting. And the Chofetz Chaim answered and he said, but me too. I'm also just a guest. I'm also just visiting in this world. Don't be fooled by the fact that you have a lot of furniture. We're all really just guests in this world. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying here that even if you do have a lot, don't kid yourself. You don't actually have it. The difference between the rich man who has a lot of furniture and the Chofetz Chaim who doesn't, it's all an illusion. Yesh misasher ve'ein kol. We don't actually have the things that we think we have. But then on the other hand, misroshesh v'hoin rov. Misroshesh is in reflexive form. It means someone who makes himself poor, meaning he's poor because he gave his money away to other people for tzedakah. He's a misroshesh because he helps needy people. Actually, this person, you should know, he has great riches. He has hoin rov, misroshesh v'hoin rov. He made himself poor by giving all his money away, but he's actually extremely rich. And the Alshech references a story from Baba Basra about Mumbaz HaMelech to illustrate this idea. Mumbaz was a king during the time that there was a terrible, terrible famine in Eretz Israel. And his family had enormous treasures and wealth that they'd accumulated for many generations. And he took all this family treasure that had been accumulated, that had been saved, that had been stored, and he spent it all so that he could provide for the poor and the hungry people of Eretz Israel. And his relatives confronted him about this. They were very upset. They said, our ancestors, your ancestors, they stored, they collected, they saved, and they added to the collections of their ancestors, and you've just taken everything and you've squandered it. And Mumbaz replied with a very, very powerful answer. He said, it's true, but my ancestors, they stored below. I'm storing above. My ancestors stored in a place where the hands of others can reach. People can take it away from you. I stored my treasure where no hand can reach. No one can take the treasure that I stored by giving this to other people. My ancestors stored something that doesn't generate profit. When there's money in a bank, it doesn't do anything. But I'm storing something that generates profit by saving people, by saving all these lives. My ancestors stored up treasures of money. I'm storing treasures of souls. My ancestors stored up for others, for their sons, for their heirs. When they themselves will leave this world, who's going to get the money? It's for other people. But I'm storing for myself because this is what I'm going to take with me. My ancestors stored up for this world, but I'm storing up for the world to come. So Mumbaz's relatives, who are distressed that he's giving all his money away, they could be described, says the Al-Sheikh, as having a mindset of yesh misasher ve'ein kol. They hoard their wealth and they don't want to give it away because they're terrified to lose it. But ultimately, ein kol, ultimately they have nothing because we take nothing with us. But Mumbaz, on the other hand, he had an attitude of misreshesh v'hoin rav, that giving away your assets to other people, yes, you might make yourself poor in this world, but hoin rav, it's the only way of actually acquiring something for yourself. The way to be wealthy is by making yourself poor through giving it to other people. Because ultimately, money's worthless. After our short time in this world, we're going to return to the dust. We have absolutely nothing left of our homes, our cars, our watches, our money, nothing. Everything that we spent our entire lives chasing is totally gone. But if we make ourselves poor in this world because we give our money to other people, misreshesh, we live with less than maybe we would have, we cut down on our lifestyle so that we could give more to tzedakah, then we are actually the wealthy ones because we have something to take with us when we go to the world to come. It's like the same idea as a savings account. What is a savings account? You deny yourself short-term gratification for long-term pleasure, right? Every time you stretch yourselves and you put a little bit more in your savings account, it's for the long-term pleasure of one day I will have this. And every time we stretch ourselves with a little more tzedakah, and it hurts because it means we have less for ourselves because we've given some of it away. But it's essentially, it's putting it in a savings account for the world to come. Then in our next pasuk, pasuk ches, we continue with the same theme. Kofer nefesh ish ashroi. The ransom of a man's life is his wealth. V'rosh lo shama ga'ara, and the poor man hears no rebuke. What does this mean? Kofer nefesh ish ashroi. The ransom of a man's life is his wealth. According to Mitzvah, this means a person can redeem his soul. He can ransom his life through his wealth. How? By giving tzedakah. But there's a caveat to this, because it only works when, second half of the pasuk, v'rosh lo shama ga'ara, the poor man hears no rebuke, meaning when in the act of giving tzedakah, the recipient is not degraded by it, and the poor person doesn't feel shame to receive it from him. If one gives in this kind of way, without making the poor person feel bad about it, then giving tzedakah is a ransom for your soul. So this is another way that Shlomo HaMelech reframes our perception of tzedakah. The Malbim explains that since giving tzedakah and using our money for positive things, it can provide redemption for our souls, right? Kofer nefesh ish ashrei. So that what that means is that when we give tzedakah, we should view it as a massive opportunity. It's not a burden. It's not something that we do reluctantly. We don't have trouble parting with our money. It's such an opportunity because this way we get redemption for our soul. So therefore, it follows from this that v'rosh lo shama ga'ara, a poor person who comes to your house to collect tzedakah, he shouldn't be treated in a way that he feels embarrassed or that he feels put down. He should be treated as he's giving you an opportunity to get kapara for your soul. He's giving you an opportunity to purchase everlasting life. Think about that next time someone calls you with a crowdfunding campaign. So this flips the whole way we relate to giving on its head. It changes tzedakah from a burden that's something that we feel like we should do because we feel guilty not to do. It switches it to a massive, massive opportunity. Another perspective on this pasuk comes from Rashi, and he quotes the Medrash Haggadah that says that this pasuk refers to the machatis ha-shekel. It's the half shekel that the Jews had to donate towards the communal sacrifices in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, because giving that machatis ha-shekel, donating that half shekel, provided kapara for our souls. Kofer nefesh ish ashrei. And at the same time, this machatis ha-shekel was a great equalizer. Everybody, rich, poor, everyone donated the same amount. Everybody gave a half a shekel. So nobody felt less than someone else because they couldn't afford to give as much. So, v'rosh lo shama ga'ara. The poor person didn't feel bad. Everyone gave the same kofer nefesh. Nobody felt bad because no one felt like they had less of a contribution to the communal sacrifices because everybody gave the same. And then finally, the Al-Sheikh links these two psukim. It links psukim Zayin and Ches together. And he says that this is a dialogue between the Miss Asher, who we said stores his wealth, and the Miss Roshesh, who we said gives it all away. So the dialogue goes like this. The rich man, the Miss Asher, he argues that wealth is so useful. It can provide protection for a person. Kofer nefesh ish ashroi. It can be a ransom for you. You can use it to buy your way out of trouble. You can use it to bribe your way out of trouble. If you give all your money away, then what are you going to do when you have an emergency and you need money? But the poor man, the Miss Roshesh, he doesn't buy this argument at all. Varash lo shamaga ara, the poor man, he doesn't hear any threat or any rebuke in these words. Because he says, if I live a life of generosity, if I've given my money away to tzedakah, I have Hashem's protection. I don't need to buy my way out of trouble because Hashem will protect me from getting into trouble in the first place. I'm safer than you who has money who can buy your way out of trouble. I'm safer than you because, as we said in previous chapters, tzedakah tatzil mimaves, giving this money, this giving tzedakah to other people, that's the biggest security, that's the biggest protection. There's an illusion that we're all susceptible to, that wealth guarantees our security. But real security, real protection comes from spiritual merit, doesn't come from our material assets. And giving away our wealth provides us much, much more protection than hoarding it does. And finally, the last pasuk that we're going to read together today is pasuk kaf hei. Tzadik oichal l'sova nafshoi, uveten rishoim techsar. The righteous eats to satisfy his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall feel want. The Medrash Mishlei says that we can see an example of this difference between the attitude of the tzaddik and the rasha when we compare Eliezer asking Rivka for some water with Esav asking Yaakov for some lentil soup. When Eliezer approaches Rivka and he asks her for some water, he says, "Hagmini no ma'at mayim mikadech. Please can you give me just a little bit of water from your jug?" This is the attitude of tzaddik oichal l'sova nafshoi. A righteous person eats just to satisfy his soul. Just give me what I need to be satisfied. Just give me a little bit of water. I don't need more than that. Whereas Esav, on the other hand, when he approached Yaakov about the lentil soup, he said, "Haliteni nomina adai ma'adai mazeh. Pour this red stuff down my throat." The word haliteni, it's language that we use to describe the way we feed a camel. We pour food down the throat of a camel. That's the language Esav used to describe how he wanted to eat. "I'm so starving, just pour it down my throat." This is a description of uveten rishoim techsar, says the Midrash. Rishoim are greedy, just give me the whole load, just pour it down my throat. Rashi ibn Ezra Mitzvah explained that the righteous eats to satisfy his soul, tzadik oichal l'sova nafshoi. It means that the tzadik eats just for the purpose of survival. He eats just to be satisfied. He doesn't need luxuries. His currency is not about having more and more materialism. He needs to eat because one has to eat in order to survive, so he does that. And one needs clothes to wear, so he has clothes. But it's only to fill a need, and it's only to the point of satisfaction. It's only l'sova nafshoi. You know, if you'd go to a gadol hadar and you'd ask him, "Would you like a certain type of very gourmet steak from a very expensive gourmet restaurant?" And you try to explain to this gadol hadar how it's been aged and how it's been grilled, we can presume that he wouldn't know what you're talking about. It's not like he'd reject you and he'd say, "Ugh, it's too materialistic for me, I don't want to hear." It's just he wouldn't understand what you're talking about. It's not his currency. It doesn't mean anything to him. To him, food is satisfaction. Tzadik oichal l'sova nafshoi. It's got utilitarian purposes. Whereas the Rasha, on the other hand, he lives a life of beten rishoim techsar. The stomachs of rishoim are always empty. They're always craving more because their lack comes from a perception. Their lack doesn't come from a reality of actual hunger, but it comes from a perception of not having enough. And that's why it can never ever be filled, because it's in their minds. A rasha always feels like his belly's lacking. He always feels like there's something that he needs that he still doesn't have. He's always acutely aware of that one last thing that if he would have it, he would finally be happy. And then we can take this idea one step further with a Malbim. And he explains, why is it that a rasha, materialistic people, why are they never satisfied? Why is it that beten rishoim techsar, that in the material world, that when it comes to material things, we always feel lacking and we always feel like we need that one more thing? And he explains that's because the tzaddik understands that what is actually hungry is not his physical self, it's not his beten, but it's his nefesh. Tzaddik oichal l'sova nafshoi. He recognizes that what's hungry and that what he needs to satisfy is his soul. He knows his stomach isn't really hungry, but his soul is craving something. And the Medrash brings the mashal of a princess who marries a peasant, and the peasant really wants to please her. And he goes and prepares this most amazing meal of barley and lentils and chickpeas. He really does his best to impress her, to satisfy her. And she eats it and she feels really, really bad. But she's like, I'm really sorry, but this just doesn't fill me up. It's just not what I'm used to. It's just not what my body can take. I'm used to different kinds of foods. Says the Medrash, this is an imshal for our souls. Our souls come down to this world and they are starving. They're starving. And what we do is try and feed our souls, and we try and feed them with more jewelry and more clothing and more foods and better homes and just more and more and more things. But our soul is starving. Our soul says, this doesn't fill me up. This is not my currency. This is not what I'm used to. This is not the kind of food that satisfies me. Tzadik oichol l'soiva nafshay. The tzaddik knows that he needs to satisfy the cravings of his soul, not his material self. He knows that his soul is starving for connection. It's starving for meaning. It's starving for purpose. And the tzaddik doesn't make the mistake of trying to feed it with those things that are never ever going to fill it up. Thank you for learning together in the merit for Refuah Shelema for Yonina Sima Bas Daphna Hinder and the wounded members of Tzahal among those who are ill among Klal Yisrael. Sponsored by Nina and Chaim Schenker.